Hello, my name is Shani Tarrigan, and welcome to Torah Timacha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Kohelet Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. The amplification of Perek Zayin's first letters and words reflect its introductory role to the second part of its analysis. Perek Vav ended by highlighting man's inability to locate any good, Ma Tov La Adam B'chayim, what is meaningful for man in this world. Perek Zayin seeks to answer Perek Vav's skepticism with a flood of goods, Tov Tov, mentioned seven times in the first eight psukim. The first four psukim contrast the moments of birth and death. Man, who naturally prefers to focus on life, celebrates birth while disregarding death. In truth, though, man has more to learn from death, which affords a more accurate evaluation of life. Tov Shem Yishem and Tov V'yom HaMavet M'yom Hivaldo. At birth, babies are showered with perfumes and hopeful praises, with pipe dreams. Children are often named even to express the ideals the parents hope they will achieve. But in actuality, babies given legendary names generally fail to live up to those namesakes. How many Avrams or Sarahs have lived up to our matriarchs and patriarchs? A truer reflection of the person's character can be gleaned from the names he acquires during his lifespan, which were given not to express hope, but to describe the person realistically. A good name, Shem Tov, is more valuable. It's more true than rich oils, which are superficial and ephemeral. The day of death is better, and in fact attests more to one's life than birth. Better to attend wakes than parties, because from mourners one learns best about life. At birth celebrations and various stages earlier in life, celebrants express their hopes for the future. Their dreams often foster predications that overlook reality. Even if one has not yet reached their potential, we hope they may tomorrow or in another year. Once one has died, however, his life's case is closed. There is no tomorrow. This is the appropriate time to evaluate his actual accomplishments. How successful was he at realizing his potential, his goals, his plans? Fools and foolishness are the stars of parties. They make a lot of noise. The wise and the wisdom are given the podium at funerals and wakes. They're the ones who have what to teach us. This type of evaluation is good, is tov, because of its realism. This is a very pragmatic speech, and we see from the emphasis on chokhmah, tova chokhmah im nachala, we're going to hear about, and even in the first few psukim, ki ha'oshek yeholel chacham v'yabed et lev matana, we see that this is more of a pragmatic wisdom. In contrast, the first section, which we just saw, no one could find a way to overcome death, Perek Zayin encourages us to accept death. Death in reality, not only is it not bad, not only does it not undermine the meaning of life, and on the contrary, it's going to underscore that life is meaningful. Death is a reality. Man's only objective should be trying to determine the best way of living with death. Death, as a matter of fact, is going to teach us what life is all about. So if death is something that we can control, then we have to realize that there are going to be other phenomena in this world that we cannot control. At the same time, death will emphasize that whatever we can control in this world is in fact what the world is about. Better to listen to the chacham, to the wise man's reprimand, than to enjoy the foolish songs of the singers. These songs are like loud but quickly consumed twigs or sirim, little and plants that, although the ideal carefree word that they laud, bring them popularity, which is why people play them loudly, their fanciful nature causes them to fizzle out very quickly. So one should distance himself from the fool who might damage his wisdom by enticing him to imagine things other than they really are. Kohelet concludes the first section of his poem by summarizing that the end of a process is better than its beginning because it affords a realistic evaluation. Tov acharit avar mireshito, tov erech ruach migvar ruach. It's better to wait, to be calm for the end of the process. That is, in fact, realistic. And then he continues in Pasuk Tet, Al tivahel beruchacha lechos, ki kas b'chik silim yanuach, rhyming with the previous end of the Pasuk of Ruach, teaching us that it doesn't pay to be angry because that, once again, is an expression of foolishness. So as we begin Perek Zayin's second section detailing a realistic approach to life, we find that anger is often a symptom of an inflated ego. People are hurt and incensed when they feel that they're being treated inappropriately. How often are we irritated by others' use of a road or a checkout counter when we desperately need it? Of course, there's no real reason to expect that others care about our own needs. Everyone is stuck in the same traffic. But we do so because we imagine ourselves to be very important. Strangely, we're shocked when others don't conform to our expectations. The wiser approach is not to allow one's inflated ego to foster nonsensical and senseless anger, or in other words, anger that cannot solve something that is beyond our control. We then go on to Pasuk Yud. Al tamar mahaya shayamim harishonim hayu tovim me'ele, ki lo michochma she'alta al zeh. It's better not to say, oh, I wish I could go back in time, because that's not very wise. Nostalgia helps man evade reality. We have memories of better times that allow both escapism and the hope that the world can be changed back in time. Instead of adapting to change, man often diverts his energies to trying to return to a world of its pleasant past. Although social and cultural momentum generally prevent this, nostalgia furnishes an escape from the current reality. And this attitude, we're told, is very unrealistic and unwise. In summation, success hinges not on material resources, but death teaches us that having the wisdom to benefit from various resources, from what we can control, that is what we should get out of life. These psukim respond to the ambition, really, of a socialist who hopes to improve the world. If you remember him from Perek Dalid, the response continues by highlighting man's inability to change God's creations. Here, the Chacham realizes that there are certain things, like death, that we can change. Recognizing this should keep one from devoting much energy to his activist dreams and movements. He should only try to change things that are within his control. Although one might choose to identify with popular movements, he shouldn't be carried away by the missions he knows he can never fulfill. He should contribute no more than the accepted norm. That's the purpose of life, to control whatever it is that you can. Because his mission is to be popular and not ideological, very often man's beliefs flow with the prevailing social winds. When civil liberties and equality are in style, then that's what's considered politically correct. But when society responds to terror with racial stereotypes or martial law, he should unravel his patriotic flag. His beliefs should not be motivated by ideological goals he knows God prevents him from accomplishing, but again, by the pragmatic aim of fitting in. That's his pragmatic perspective right now. He says, recognize, there are certain things that God, a priori, made crooked. Don't even try to change them. Instead, deal with them. Recognize that there are going to be good days and certain things that will be popular on those good days and certain days that are good because they're beyond my control. It's a sunny day. I can't control the weather. So great, enjoy it. But just know that there are also going to be bad days that are beyond your control. And you should deal with both of them. And that's why he says you should reach some balance in between. From Pasuk Tetvav through Chafbet, this is where he's going to relate now to other types of philosophies. If death teaches us that we should pragmatically try to control our surroundings, and that's what life is all about, trying to do the best we can in these situations, then he's going to refer now to personal piety, to a lifestyle of Yirat Elokim. He says that it's true, the Yirei Elokim, who, if you remember in Perek Hei, encouraged man to totally devote himself to the service of God, the Chacham declares that this too is unwise, for many righteous people suffer, while many wicked people prosper. So it doesn't pay to go to an extreme of perfectionism in Yirat Elokim, because it's impossible anyway. All life includes sin, so one should not pressure himself to be perfect. Only pragmatic wisdom can ensure success. Although righteousness does not guarantee prosperity, a proper modicum is essential. Absolute immorality is unpopular, and kindness and Yirat Elokim does ensure longevity. The ruthless generally die prematurely. So once again, if you want to control even the quality of your life, then it pays to be a Yirei Elokim, but moderation is the key. It's best to strike the proper balance. One ought to be religious enough to be accepted and popular, but selfish enough to allow for personal advancement. So to be smart enough to know when to apply loopholes, but don't apply them too often because eventually you're going to get caught. This attitude is really some type of take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, which is exactly what he recommends by dabbling both in tzidkut and in chachma, but don't go to an extreme. This is a pragmatic form of a balancing, recognizing that he is trying to be a realist and at the same time justify what we would generally call misbehavior. So until now, he's been teaching us how to learn from life and recognize, he says, don't even be frustrated when other people curse you because you know that you curse others. Don't be upset when other people speak lashon hara about you because you know that you've done the same thing. Until now, we hear the voice of a chacham, of a very pragmatic, wise person who wants to teach us through death what the point of life is all about. But now comes a new speaker, Kol Zeh Nisiti B'Chochmah. We see from the change in the speaker, I've tried this, comes along the Rei Elokim, and he's going to say that although learning from death how to best live life in a way that I can control it seems worthwhile, it's impossible. He says, I've tried learning everything about everything, learning the sciences, learning engineering, learning law, learning whatever it is that will help me control life. Amarti ach kama vihi rechoka mimeni, rechok mishaya, va'amok amok miyimtzenu. People know that you cannot learn everything that there is to learn. Who successfully maneuvers through life's various pitfalls, which operate according to no quantifiable principles. Even man's most sincere attempts to learn everything there is to learn leave him terribly frustrated. As he says in Pasuk Chavdalid, man's inability should be attributed not only to the difficulty of the task, but also to his innate weakness. Man is driven not only by his rationality, but also by emotion. And these emotions often keep him from completing even what he has already determined rationally to be the absolute best course. He says, I try this. I've seen the worse than death is the woman. And by woman, he doesn't mean the female per se, but just as the woman has been incorporated in Sefer Mishlei as an allegory for seduction. For wisdom, sometimes negative wisdom, but then again, the Ishat Chayil, positive wisdom. So too here, he says, eventually, studying wisdom with all of its seductions can potentially lead one to corrupt his Yirat Elokim nature. So Mr. Chacham said that, oh, you can be a realist, a pragmatist, you can be both very smart and control your surroundings and simultaneously also be a very righteous individual, albeit don't go to an extreme of righteousness. Comes along the next speaker and he says, here's the rebuttal of Kohelet. No, you can't be both. If you really focus so much on getting ahead in this world, of course it's going to seduce you. Of course it's going to undermine your Yirat Elokim. Think of Chava, right? When she seduced Adam. This is a historical precedent of the pivotal role seduction plays in determining both personal and global histories. That's why we find that the mashal of a woman attempting to entice is both positive and negative. Death is not man's true nemesis. While death merely terminates man's efforts, his emotions undermine them. Worse than death is one who finds that his life's attempts were misguided by an emotional fling, by his drive to succeed and control in this world. So because so few succeed at unraveling life's enigmas, of being able to balance between all this knowledge and negative seduction, Kohelet concludes that man is not meant to outsmart the system, to try to control everything there is control. Rather, he should follow the natural intuition implanted in him by his creator. God made man straight, man spoiled it through his personal intrigue. And with this, we see the last pasuk of Perek Zayin, Levad Re'ezeh Matzati Yashar Asa Elokim Et Adam Yashar Ve'hema Bikshu Chashmonot Rabim. Chachma actually subverts and corrupts a true person who is striving to be a Yirei Elokim. Clearly then, the next chapter is going to support the platform of what we learn from death about life as a Yirei Elokim. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef, Zichrona Levracha.